Strangers and Aliens, Episode 57, Westerns, the original American fantasy genre.
This episode of Strangers and Aliens is brought to you by Audible.com. For the listeners of Strangers and Aliens, Audible is offering a free audiobook download when you sign up for their free 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/strangers. You can cancel at any time. The book is yours to keep, and we thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast. This is the podcast where three friends take some time out of their weekly schedule to talk about fun things like science fiction and fantasy and their faith in Christianity.
Wow, I feel like a warm hug right now.
It is. This is a warm and fuzzy place to be, and I have to say that I enjoy doing this every week. And
wow, this sounds like a very different podcast.
And I am Ben Avery. I write comic books, and I clean my church. And that's my other job. So I have a nice, you know, broad range of different things that I do. But I also love Jesus and love creating and love just, you know, all the kind of fun things that come along with the imagination that God has given us. And that's what this podcast is about. And I am here with my two buddies. One of them is named Stephen McDonald. Steve, take it away. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Steve McDonald, and I drive a school bus.
Nice. And we're also joined by...
Hi, I'm Dr. Jace, and I'm a college professor and a pastor. But I also write books and love television, film, and fantasy and sci-fi, and actually a couple things we're going to talk about today.
Yes, some different things we're going to talk about today. I think today's topic might actually cause some people to say, what? And cause some other people to say, no way. And cause a few to say, yeah, I thought that all along.
Amen. I agree with that.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dr. Jace, you suggested this. I loved it. Steve agreed with it somewhat.
No. He said, I wouldn't disagree with it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say no. So, yes. You suggested it. I agree with it. Steve wouldn't say no. Why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Well, I, you know, we've talked about this in the past, and we haven't done an episode on it yet. So we figured we'll do it now since we, you know, we're not opposed to some small controversy, argument, debates on our show. We actually encourage our listeners. So today we are going to be talking about Westerns. Yes, that's right. Westerns.
Cowboys
and Indians.
And
I know that many people are sitting there going, wait a minute, this is a sci-fi fantasy. How does that fit? And that's where me and Ben, and I believe Steve, all agree. Ben, why are Westerns fantasy?
Well, that's the thing. They're not sci-fi unless you're talking about like Serenity, Firefly, that kind of thing. You do have the genre within science fiction of the Western. And you also have the steampunk type of thing, which sometimes includes Western elements. But we're talking about, one, you know, they say jazz is an American art form, unique to America. The Western is also a little bit unique, I think, to America. And it's America's mythology. It's America's fantasy. And it's much more so a fantasy now than a lot of Westerns that were written you know, closer to the time period of the actual, you know, Old West, quote unquote.
But even many of those, when you had those dime
novels, yeah.
Yeah, they had the dime novels. Most of that stuff, a lot of it was completely exaggerated because, you know, you hear about these stories, oh, he killed 50 men, and you look up and it's probably closer to 5.
Yeah. And it's fantasy though, in that you have heroes, you have people doing things that are not physically possible. You have superheroic feats.
Especially Ben, when you had the guns and weapons that they had back then, and how he just shot five for five, 100 yards away, knowing that the guns that they had were not that accurate as that they're trying to portray them to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes back to like even further back than the actual Western, when you had was James Fenimore Cooper who wrote the Long Stocking.
Deer Slayer,
Last of the Mohicans, and that. And you have the character who can shoot with pinpoint accuracy to, you know, 300 yards away, even though the guns that they had back then could only shoot like 100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so you have these people doing these amazing things. You have these anointed weapons, especially like the six shooter. You have the leather stocking, that's who it is, not no, long
not
stocking
Pippi Longstocking.
Pippi Longstocking is also a fantasy. Wow. For so another day.
I'm so glad you clarified that. I was getting the two mixed up.
Yeah.
Well,
she could shoot a gun though.
You can forgive me that one, can't you?
I just wanted to make sure it was correct out there.
No, I know you're correcting me, but you can forgive me too, right?
I forgive you. Okay. Of course I forgive.
Wait.
You
Mercy was last time, guys.
Well, actually, a couple times ago, we had some interviews go up too and stuff. So, but anyway, yeah. So the American Old West, I believe, I look at that as a genre. I think it fits squarely into fantasy, and I think what appeals to me about Westerns is also, in a lot of ways, what appeals to me about, you know, fantasy. And I think you take out the six gun and put a sword on the guy's belt and have him do the same kind of things and go through the same type of story and the same kind of events and same, you know, deal with the same kind of characters. It's a nice fit. It works.
You take the bow and arrow and in most of these Westerns, the way these guys shoot, you basically have Legolas from Lord of the Rings just shooting them from all over the place, or, you know, Hawkeye or whatever you want to use.
Hawkeye. He's from the Leatherstocking, isn't he?
Pippi Longstocking tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hawkeye is also Last of the Mohicans. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all on the same page. We just didn't even know it. That's awesome. So, yeah. So that's my reasoning why, when I look at a Western, especially, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say that's exactly the reason I look at them too, is they are basically superheroes in a different context. It's not realistic in most cases. It's fantasy, and there's also something to be said. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of comparisons, in my opinion, to some sci-fi elements. For instance, the West, it was wide open, it's the unknown, and then you compare that with space, the wide open, the unknown.
And Firefly, I didn't know how far they were actually taking it until you got to the movie where the Reavers really were the worst possible stereotype of the bloodthirsty Indian. I didn't realize it until you get to the movie and you're like, oh, that's what the Reavers are. Yeah. They're coming in, they're screaming, they're eating each other. It's that terrible, terrible stereotype without using an actual, you know, existing group of people that has feelings, and that, you know, you're not, and that's the one thing that I think Westerns sometimes there's a problem with, is that you are dealing with real people in real places, whereas with science fiction you are not, and so you're able to do the worst stereotype type of people, but they don't exist. Klingons, you know, they can be a terrible stereotype, but they're not stereotyped people that we exist with today. They're, you know, made up aliens. And so you're able to kind of take that stereotype and explore it, and it's okay because it's fictional.
Well, let me ask you this, Steve, would you do you have anything to add to that, or do you agree pretty much with our premise of why we include it in fantasy?
Yeah, it's accurate.
You wouldn't say no.
I wouldn't say no. It's because it's no one was there. You know, we weren't there. There's no one here living that was alive and active and, you know, able to do stuff. And even 50 years ago, the people that were there, either they weren't telling the story or the story they were telling was, you know, the tall tale. The tall tale, exactly. It's, you know, the Annie the Oakley, story. The yeah. Wild Bill Hickok, the, you know, all those
Pecos Bill.
Exactly. Those tales, those, you know, legends. You retell them, and they get better and better, you know?
So let me ask you guys this. We just kind of stated why we believe they're fantasy. We know some of our listeners will be, like, beating their iPhones or computers going, no!
Or have already turned it off and just said, okay, well.
So what are some arguments against? What are some things? What are they going to sit there and say, yeah, you guys are off?
Well, I think the most obvious one is that no one else does this. No one else says this. And I think part of it is you don't think of it that way because it is set in an actual place and time. It's the Western. The title, the name of the genre comes from an existing place. The Old West comes from an existing time. Now, it may not be an accurate portrayal of the time or place, but the American West, that's why it's called the Western. It's a real place and a real time. That's right. The first thing I can think of. And I'm sure there's 100 more. It's real people. It's historical fiction, not fantasy fiction. Although I also kind of would make the case that historical fiction shares a lot of elements with fantasy because it's a place and time that you cannot go to right now. And so the writer of historical fiction is setting a scene for you to enter into the same way a fantasy writer who is creating a world sets the scene for you to enter into. And it's not the same as, and I guess once you take what I'm saying right here, right now, you can then say, well, what about the, you know, Chicklet, the big, you know, big city girl who is out and trying to make her way. She's in a place and time that you can't experience without reading the book or whatever. And I understand that, but
yeah.
I think that the elements of historical fiction and the elements even more so in the Western because of the great fantastic elements cause it to be, you know, something different.
Yeah, I would say that those are pretty much the main arguments. You know, we could counter them all we want, but we pretty much already have stated why. Because even though it is a specific location and specific people, it's still fantasy. Because it's not realistic. You're basically making these people superheroes in most cases. But let me ask you guys this. We're talking about Westerns. There's a lot to choose from. But what are some of your favorite films or television shows in this genre? And what's your number one favorite?
I think the number one I go to is, it's actually four movies that kind of go together. One of them doesn't officially go with it, but it's part of it. And that's the Man with No Name trilogy.
Yeah.
And then Unforgiven, which is kind of Clint Eastwood kind of putting the last final chapter on the Man with No Name, even though in Unforgiven he has a name. So, but those...
The Man with One Name.
Yeah, the Man with A Name. And but those are some of my favorites. I mean, it's the spaghetti Western, the Man with No Name trilogy, and it's just over the top.
I knew those would come in.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. And you know, any fan of Westerns, that's going to come up. But they're over the top, and
of those, I would say Unforgiven is my favorite of all four of those that you just mentioned.
Well, Unforgiven is more sophisticated and more modern in its storytelling, and also I think a lot more Hollywood and a lot more American. Yeah. But they work together as this kind of, here's this man with no morality. You know, we're talking about the kind of analog to fantasy. The Man with No Name, you take away his gun, give him a bunch of muscles and a sword, and he has the same attitude and doing the same kind of adventures as Conan. So I mean, and then, but with Unforgiven, you have him getting older and kind of looking back at his life and dealing with those things that he did where he just pretty much had no conscience.
Yeah.
So, Steve, that's the first that would come to my mind.
Steve, what's the top of your list?
I would say Gunsmoke.
Ah, yes.
Because, I mean, originally it was supposed to be like a detective story, you know, detective stories set in the West. And, you know, you had that whole element of it where you have a U.S. Marshal who is cast in the role of the detective. He's the Hold on a second. We have people going upstairs. Sorry. No, it's okay. Get him. Remember to get him in a diaper and PJs.
I'm not cutting that out, by the way.
You can cut that if you want. Basically, I mean, it dealt with real characters. There was, you know, Wild Bill Hickok would show up. They were after Jesse James, I think, in the first episode. And then it morphed into the TV show, which the Marshall Dillon. And then it went on to, and it was like the half hour TV show versions of the radio show. They basically took the scripts and some fantastic scripts, by the way. John Meston was one of the ones that just churned out the scripts week after week. Then it went on to become its own thing. It was its own hour-long drama, and they just sort of invented kept inventing the Western TV drama. It went on for 20 years, it was one of the longest-running shows. Yeah. It's campy. It's, especially near the end where Miss Kitty is, no offense to the actress. She was doing that character, but 20 years later.
Character being in the TV show, she just owned the saloon, right?
Yeah.
In the radio drama, it was a little more oblique, but they did say, she's basically running the hen house.
Yeah,
and she's got the prostitutes working for her. She's the,
yeah,
the, what do you call it, the marm, the ma'am? I don't know.
I remember watching Gunsmoke when I was a kid. I loved Gunsmoke.
Yeah, but just the
I like the black and white ones though.
Yeah, the Marshall Dillon, but just the impact that it had. I was not a Western fan. I didn't like Westerns growing up. I liked The Lone Ranger, but I didn't.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, but I didn't see a lot of Lone Ranger. I think I saw one movie or something on TV or whatever.
I honestly did not like the Lone Ranger.
There was a TV series.
I didn't when I was a kid.
Yeah, there was a TV series, and I didn't terribly like it. But I liked the concept of the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I liked the show when I was growing up.
And yeah. I like the comic book of The Lone Ranger, which was drawn by Sergio Cariello, who was also drawing The Life of Christ that I am writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just excellent. To drop a name.
Yeah, on your another foot. Plug.
But that's more recent. This is,
yes, absolutely.
The,
yeah.
Back in the late 70s, early 80s, if it wasn't science fiction, it wasn't on my radar. So for the longest time, I didn't watch Westerns. And people would say, hey, let's watch, this, whatever. And I'd be like, ugh, it's a Western. And I was like the anti-Western guy. And I got into old-time radio and started listening to stuff. And Gunsmoke, there was just tons of Gunsmoke. And I said, I had some other Westerns too. And I said, let me find ones that are the best. I don't want to just listen to any old episode because it just might instill that anti-Western, feeling in me even more. So I looked it up and they said Gunsmoke was the best. And, it really was.
I disagree, by the way.
Yeah, I would too.
It was top notch, let's say.
It's very good, yes.
Yeah, because the sound effects were groundbreaking in a lot of ways. The acting was fantastic. The writing was amazing. There was very little you could find fault with it as a old-time radio show.
Well, I would say that my favorite, and I've gone back and forth with this, but over our school had spring break here a couple weeks ago. It was early spring break. And I got a hankering for watching this. I hadn't seen it in a couple of years. And yes, I said hankering. And
we are talking about Westerns. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so...
we're savvy.
But I put in Lonesome Dove. And it has two of my favorite actors, with Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones. And a character I absolutely loved. I first saw this when I was younger. With Ricky Schroeder, you know, being Newt. I just had always related to that character. And it has a really great cast. And, of course, then I had to watch Lonesome Dove, The Return of Lonesome Dove, Comanche Moon, and Streets of Laredo. I watched them pretty much straight through again. And but Lonesome Dove, the first one, is still by far my favorite.
And almost all of those are on Netflix.
Oh, they all are except for Streets of Laredo.
Which I have them in my queue now. I haven't watched them yet.
Yeah. But... I don't know why Streets of Laredo isn't. But what's interesting is that, you know... Tommy Lee Jones plays Captain Call in the original Lonesome Dove, but at first they had, I can't remember who was first, but they had James Garner and John Voight to play that role, and they both said, I think Garner was injured and Voight turned it down, but all three of those men ended up playing that character at some point or another.
Huh.
but Lonesome Dove, the relationship between Captain Call and Captain Augustus McCrae, I just love it, and I'm hoping... there's still one that's left. It's the very first one.
One book, you mean?
Yeah, there's still one book that they've not made into a movie or a miniseries, I should say. And it's the one that happens when they were the youngest. It's supposed to be the earliest. It's not the first book written, but it's the earliest stories of these characters. This is another, when I talk about Firefly all the time, about I would love more stories in that universe. I would love more stories in the Lonesome Dove universe. With a really good cast of McCrae and Captain Call. Would love it.
All right, yeah, I really want to see that just because of your recommendation.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't even familiar with it until noticing it on Netflix, and then you said, yeah, you need to check this out.
Oh, I love it. It's you know, I think you'll enjoy it because it's a good bridge. I think a lot of younger viewers probably wouldn't like it because it doesn't have as much action as, say, a lot of the modern Westerns have. But it's a very good story, and I really like it. Most of the characters are guys. It really speaks a lot of honor and camaraderie and difficult decisions. What do you do? Justice, mercy. It brings up some very interesting themes. But I'm going to... also mentioned, I'm going to say I have a list of my favorite Westerns, and I have one that I don't think many people would put on their list. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to answer it, but I want to ask you the same question. What's one that's in your top list that you don't think many people would be in their favorite of all time Westerns? And I'll start.
Well, wait, before you do, let me ask you this. That's a great question, but are we going to do any more favorites that are more mainstream?
Yeah, we've got, we can go into those if you want.
Okay. I just wanted to quickly mention Wild Wild West, not the movie with Will Smith, but the TV show. That I love that show. And that's a sci-fi Western through and through. I mean, that's James Bond in the Old West.
Yeah.
And then the other one I wanted to mention was Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
And you have that series where you have, there's four Magnificent Seven movies, which means they all have pretty much the same plot, which comes from Seven Samurai. And so you've seen this movie before. If you've seen Seven Samurai, you've seen it before. If you've seen A Bug's Life, you've seen it before. So,
yeah.
They did a TV series too, and I need to find it here because the TV series had Michael Bane from Aliens rather, and also has Hellboy. What's his name? Ron Perlman. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some sci-fi connections there too. But the TV series, I was surprised how good it was, and that's from like 2001 or so. But those are the two kind of mainstream that I would say also are favorites of mine. I love the movies.
I'd have to go. When you talk Westerns, there's some guys that just live Westerns, and they're some of my favorite Western actors. Like, for instance, Kevin Costner, Robert Duvall, Jimmy Stewart. Of course, you have to have the Duke in there. So I'd have to say Dances with Wolves, Tombstone, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Yes, and High Noon, too, along with that one.
Yeah. And then some recent ones that I've actually really enjoyed was Open Range with Costner and Robert Duvall. And I really
like that one, too.
I did, too. I actually was surprised by how much I liked it. And I would say that another recent good one that has Russell Crowe and Christian Bale is 310 to Yuma, the new one.
Yeah, which I had not seen the original, but I did really like the new one.
Yeah, I did, too. And, of course, Bonanza. As far as TV goes, I really enjoyed Bonanza. Steve, did you have any other favorites?
Well, like I said, I'm really not the big Western guy. So, going back and listening to the old Lone Ranger episodes on Old Time Radio gave me a renewed passion for the character. I'm really looking forward to going back. I didn't pick up the comic books as they were coming out. I think I picked up the first one. But I really want to go back now that the series is complete and read it as one, and not in one sitting, of course. But
well, they just did a big omnibus hardcover.
I know. I want to get that. So
it looks beautiful.
That's sort of on my hit list, and especially since Sergio is part of it too. Big fan. But I was trying to rack my brain to see if there was one that was like quirky or weird. Probably won't take yours.
There's a possibility you could.
Letting you think about it.
Go ahead.
I have one. This is definitely Western, but it's one that I don't think people often know about or wouldn't put in their top list. But I also have a few that are kind of genre benders that I was going to throw out there. But the one that I love as a Western and I watched growing up was Young Guns and Young Guns 2. And I can't help it. I just... The humor, and it has, you know, a lot of the Brat Pack, you know, with Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen and the guy from 24.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland.
The Baldwins, wasn't it?
Yeah. And so it has a lot of these actors when they're young. Lou Diamond Phillips. and so... I just love the stories because it has Billy the Kid and it has all these guys going around, and it's Emilio's my favorite role that Emilio Estevez ever did.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Wow.
Yeah, I like Young Guns a lot. And part of that comes from I love the soundtrack to Young Guns.
It does
Bon Jovi. Oh my goodness.
It does have a good soundtrack.
Wake up in the morning. And I lease my leery head.
Wait a
got
minute,
a cold stone for a pillow. And the earth is last night's bed. Don't know where I'm going. Only God knows where I've been. I'm a devil on the run. A six-gun run. Okay, sorry.
Wow.
Go ahead.
But it also has William Peterson, the guy who was the lead of CSI for so long. He plays Garrett. I forgot about that. Who he also plays in... William Peterson also plays in Return of Lonesome Dove as well as Gideon.
Well, the weirder one that I had on my list that I don't think people would have on their list that I was afraid Steve was going to take because he kind of turned me on to this one. I think, Steve, you're the one who told me about this. And that's The Six Shooter.
Six Shooter, yeah.
With James Stewart.
Stewart, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he plays Britt Ponsett, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just a real laid back Western, but then all of a sudden he gets real tense. You know, like he's just kind of going through the day, just being nice to people. And then he gets pushed to the point where he has to take up his gun and he doesn't want to, but he will. you know, because someone is putting other people in danger, or, you know, just whatever the situation is that, that arises. And the cool thing about The Six Shooter is it's an old-time radio show, half-hour episodes. I think there's maybe 20 or so. But the final episode is the final episode. And it's an ending to the story of Britt Ponsett. And I'm not going to spoil it for how it ends, but I do recommend people who do like to listen to old-time radio. The Six Shooter is one of the better ones, and you're not like... It's not as overwhelming as Gunsmoke, where there's hundreds and hundreds or whatever.
It's a one-season investment. It's like 50 episodes.
Is it 50? Is it that many?
Maybe 40, 50. Just one season.
But it is. It was only on the air for 1 year.
Yeah.
And so you're not getting into a long thing, but you are getting into a character that you'll enjoy spending time with. And he's a cowboy, you know, and he is a hero. And he's going to these situations. And
is that on Netflix?
No, it's an old-time radio. And so it's actually on, like, archive.org. Go on iTunes and just put in The Six Shooter, and there's probably one or two podcasts that are just people who have taken those episodes and put them on.
Yeah.
I downloaded it from, I think, archive.org, where they have the entire series just as like a zip file kind of thing. Okay. Maybe we can link to that.
We have, we just talked a little bit about our favorites, but also there's some things we've talked a little bit beforehand about, kind of some that are genre benders. For instance, we already mentioned Firefly, which is obviously sci-fi and Western.
And Wild Wild West.
And Wild Wild West. And then, of course, another obvious one would be Cowboys and Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
That was horrible.
I actually enjoyed Cowboys and Aliens, thank you.
Wow.
I didn't see it.
I wouldn't say that it was amazing or even... It was, for me, entertaining. It was not a high quality, but I went in expecting it to be an updated B movie, and that's what I got.
We had to turn it off. It was just it wasn't good.
I went into it. This was kind of a modern B movie, and that's what I got. It was a modern B movie. But another,
if you say so.
One that many people, I'm going to say another one that you probably will think is awful, but there's one movie that I think gets railed on, and I really liked it. And it's not quite a Western, and it definitely is somewhat sci-fi, is The Postman with Kevin Costner. Are you guys familiar with that one?
Yeah.
I'm not a Kevin Costner fan.
It came out the same year that Titanic came out, because I remember all my family went to Titanic on Christmas, and I went and saw The Postman.
I would agree with you in the sense that the apocalyptic landscape definitely lends itself to the expanse of like the Old West. They're all riding horses, and it's Kevin Costner. And did he direct that?
He did.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like...
A Western.
A Western. And, yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, I could totally...
And it has old-fashioned weapons, and it has this territorial leader, which I can't think of the guy's name right now, but he was also in Armageddon, and I think he did a fantastic job as a bad guy. But The Postman, I think people rail it as being a bad film, but I actually think I really enjoyed it, and I look at it as almost like a Western.
I have to say that Kevin Costner as a director, I like him. I like movies that he has done, and they do kind of fit into this. No matter what he's doing, it is kind of a Western. Because you say The Postman, and then there's Open Range and Dances with Wolves. Although, did he direct Dances with Wolves?
Yes, he did. He won an Academy Award for it.
Okay. But then also Waterworld. You just said that, right?
Yeah.
Totally. The same kind of thing. He's the man with no name, riding into town, taking care of the gang of Rough Riders who are out, you know, out in the plains. In this case, the Rough Riders are Dennis Hopper on the Exxon Valdez or whatever it is.
And you guys know, I think we've discussed this before, that because before it was panned as an awful movie, but now it's kind of developed the cult following so much that they're even talking about maybe coming up with a TV show, because sci-fi, every time it runs Waterworld, the ratings go through the roof.
No way.
Yeah, it's true.
No.
It's so bad.
They threw the movie out there as just kind of a filler, and then it. I actually enjoyed Waterworld. So
I enjoyed it as well, and I want to see it again. The only thing that bothers me is the climax is to Hollywood with all the explosions.
It's not even Hollywood. Ugh.
Come on, Steve.
I had never seen it before. I saw it a couple months ago. And
what?
I said, you know what? I'd never seen it because it just everything surrounding it. So I said, I want to give it a chance. I'm going to go into it and expect, you know, to see a good movie, well-plotted, well-filmed. And it failed. Oh, so bad. I had to actually call my wife in during a couple of scenes just to show her how ludicrous and insanely dumb the filming and the scripting and the action was. And I mean it was that bad that I called her in to show her how bad it was.
It was a spaghetti aquatic film.
Spaghetti Western on water.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't even a spaghetti Western.
Wasn't it like the first scene of the movie? He's like peeing into a bottle so he can get something to drink.
Yeah, he
like he's drinking
his
own
pee.
Through
a purification system.
He pees, then he purifies it, then he drinks it again.
Yeah.
And then of course, my last genre bender, because you guys have already alluded to this, is The Last of the Mohicans, because it's not really a Western, but it has some elements.
Right, because it was written before the Western was even a genre.
Yeah, exactly. And so, especially the new one with the recent one with Daniel Day-Lewis is a phenomenal one of the, in my opinion, one of the best kind of guy movies. I'd put it up there with Braveheart and Gladiator and all those.
Okay, well, here's some genre benders then for you guys to give me your feedback on. And some of these I really like. One of them I never saw, okay?
Yeah.
Westworld. Directed and written by Michael Crichton.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. It's about basically what if the Pirates of the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, how are you supposed to say it? Caribbean. What if that came to life and it was actually cowboys instead of pirates?
And that was a cool one, yeah.
It's kind of Michael Crichton doing his first, theme park gone awry, which would become, you know, Jurassic Park later. Right. Back to the Future, Part 3.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that one, too.
Time travel into a Western, but then taking the tropes of the Western, you know, because you have to. If you're going to go back to the Old West in a time machine, you're basically stepping into a cowboy movie.
He called himself Clint Eastwood, so, hey, it has to be a Western.
Ghost Rider. And that is just a Western on motorcycles. With a superhero who makes a deal with the devil, so he's not really a hero.
Didn't see it.
Well, you know the character, though.
Yeah, but when I read the comic books, I never saw it as a Western.
Except that he is actually the most recent in a long line that goes back to the Old West.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Jonah Hex is what I thought.
Jonah Hex, I like the comic book. I did not like the movie at all.
Yeah.
The movie felt like they were trying to be Wild Wild West.
Jonah Hex looked a lot more like Van Helsing.
It was both. It had this kind of steampunk aesthetic where they're doing, you know, machines that shouldn't and couldn't have existed back then, but they try and make it look like it could have.
Right.
And then it has that spiritual, supernatural kind of thing going on too.
Yeah.
But Ghost Rider, the movie, has an awesome scene where he's talking to the last Ghost Rider before him, who was actually a cowboy, and they're like riding off together, him on his motorcycle and the other guy on his horse skeleton ghost thing. And they're going to the song Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Well, because we're talking about Westerns, I might as well give a shout out to a movie some of my friends are in. And also one of the people donated the really nice car for our wedding. It's a movie. It was a student film. I think it was a senior project, or maybe it was after a senior project. It's called Judges. It was on Netflix for a while. It's called Judges, and it has a similar concept to what you're talking about, Ben. They didn't have horses; they drove Mustangs and motorcycles and so on and so forth. Well, in the movie, there's a 1929 Pierce Arrow. It's red and black with white wall tires. And if you see the film, Judges, that car they let me use for our wedding for no charge at all.
Wow.
So, and this is, yeah, we were really excited about that. And there's a couple actors from like B movies that you might recognize if you're into B movies. And a couple of my friends are in it. In fact, one of the guys that was my groomsman was in it. It was fun. I think that it had far more potential than they actually came out, than actually occurred. I think they could have taken it to another level. It had potential, but it just didn't go there. I have a question for you guys.
Well, wait, I had one more that I wanted to mention. But not. Oh, The Dark Tower by Stephen King.
Yeah, although very grim.
Very grim and very bloody and very naughty.
Gross.
In the R-rated sense, yeah. You know. But also, you know, it's a strong story, and it's about a cowboy in a Western fantasy. It's high fantasy. You know, he lives in a castle, and they talk in this high language. But he's got a gun, and he is, you know, wearing, you know, a cowboy hat, and he has his gun on his side, and, mm-hmm. and everything like that. I've only read the first five. I did not read the last two.
Yeah.
Or three now. There's another one that just came out.
It got really dark for me.
So
I stayed away from the last
okay.
couple.
Okay, so that was the other one I wanted to mention, though.
All right. What is the most overrated Western of all time? One that you keep hearing people saying how amazing it is, and then when you saw it, you're kind of like... Basically, I'm asking, which one of these is your 2001
Oh, you guys are going to hate
Western.
Me.
I'm trying to think...
Well, you guys didn't even give me any guff for calling it. Which one is your 2001?
Well, it wouldn't be my 2001 because my 2001 is actually a good movie. Maybe
I know.
Maybe my 2001 would be The Wild Bunch because I like The Wild Bunch and I like 2001.
Okay, the most overrated film. My 2001 would be mine. So,
I don't know that. I don't know.
You don't have one?
I would have to sit down and look at titles.
I'll start. Do you have one, Steve? It sounded like you had one.
Yeah, I had a lot of problems with the Serenity movie. Even though I really like the universe, I like the way it's created. I like the way that it has that lived-in feel and it's diverse and all that stuff. I don't like the story and I don't like what they did with a lot of the characters.
But is it overrated?
Yeah, because everyone says it's awesome and they want another one, and because this one was so good and the whole series was, et cetera, et cetera. And at the same time, I cringe a little bit because I mean, you know, just so many little things. I mean, Mal was just so over the top nasty. I mean, strapping the corpses of the people there onto the ship so he can get through to the Reavers there, and you know, Book dying, and then he says, you know, just believe in something. Why would a man who believes in our God, in Jesus Christ, encourage someone like Mal just to believe in something? You know, just it was.
You know, Steve, you and I often disagree. Now, obviously, I love Firefly, and I actually enjoy Serenity. Yeah. But on that point, you and I do agree on, I don't believe the writers were true to that character. So what I have decided is that Book was not in his right mind. He had lost all his blood. And so he was simply trying to tell Mal, he was trying to get Mal to take one step closer to salvation. So he goes, he's obviously not going to be able to save him right there. So he says, believe, have faith in something. Hopefully he'll take a step towards the truth. And then he dies. So I just blame the fact that he was dying.
I blame the writing.
I do. Well, blame the writers.
And I'll also say, Steve, as far as being a great movie, you can the movie itself feels to me like Joss Whedon is still directing television.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big, epic, widescreen shoot. It's a TV episode you know, double length, maybe
with a bigger budget,
double and a half, with lots bigger budget, but not necessarily the vision of a movie, of a cinema movie, anyway. So,
I would say I know,
but I do like it as an end of the series.
The film that I'm going to call overrated will get my friend Ken upset with me. He because this is like his favorite movie of all time. And I'm going to have to say someone that people always talk about, especially if they're 40 and above, as this is the best Western of all time, is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think is the most overrated Western I have ever seen. People always talk about how awesome it is, and I always want to yawn.
I liked it, but I liked it because of the two main actors. That's Robert Redford and who is it? Paul Newman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love watching those. That's why I had such high expectations. I'm sitting there going, wow, Newman was more exciting in his mayonnaise commercial.
Well, I like the interplay that they had, you know, in the whole "who are those guys" thing as they're being followed, and then the end. I think the ending of that movie is what makes it so epic in people's memories. Is they're going along with these two guys that they like, and then you get to the end of the movie, and it's just that kind of freeze frame moment where they're getting ready to just do what they're going to do. But the thing is, the first time I watched it, I'm expecting it to be a lot more exciting than it actually is.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the movie, you've got this 5-minute segment where they're riding a bicycle around a cow pen to "Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head."
Yeah.
That doesn't mean. I mean, I'm just like, what am I watching right now? So I don't know. Maybe I could go with you on it being overrated, Jace. I still like it because I like the characters and I like the interplay.
Yeah, I would say I like watching them too, but I would say it's overrated because I was expecting so much more out of it.
Yeah, I could see the overrated label on that one. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you guys, and this is a little bit from left field a little bit, but I really hope they make more Westerns. But if you could pick two actors to star in a Western, for instance, like you have the 3:10 to Yuma, you got Russell Crowe and Christian Bale at the peak of their, you know, wow, how could you get those two together? So what would be two actors that you would like to see in a Western?
Two like actors that I would like to see in a Western.
Do they have to be like existing right now at their age right now, or could it be through time?
So like real actors right now.
So we're casting a movie right at this moment.
It could be Charlie Chaplin and Macaulay Culkin at age 80.
No.
Okay.
We're right now because we know people in Hollywood listen to this podcast and they respect our opinion. If we could recommend to them to make a movie starring these two people in a Western setting, who would it be?
Two people.
I know mine.
Go ahead with yours.
Yeah, I only have one.
Maybe that'll spark some.
All right, I'm going to pick these two people because they've teamed up a couple times, but I don't think a team up has worked with them since the first time they did it, and that would be Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. I would like Ben Affleck to direct it.
I can see that. I can see that working.
Because I actually think Ben Affleck is a better director than he is an actor, but I could see both of those in a really interesting Western. And of course, you've already seen Matt Damon in True Grit, but I'd actually like him to play a different type of character. And I think they would do a really good Western.
Yeah, I could see that working. And since I only have one person that I can think of that I would put into a Western today, Dr. Jason, I'm going to cast him as the villain in your movie.
Okay, who's that?
All right, that's Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
So Daniel Craig is the villain of your movie.
Yeah, he was in
James Bond.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, rats. Forget it. I never saw the movie, so...
No, but he would be a good bad guy.
I think, I mean...
He could be a very menacing bad guy.
I think so. I'd like to see Daniel Craig as a bad guy. I mean, with James Bond, he almost is anyway. Because just of the nature of the character of James Bond. He's, you know, meant to be a killer. Meant to be remorseless. But...
You know, who's I'll pick another two who I'd like to go to at each other. And only if they're... them, and I don't care who plays the bad guy, but I like them to both have the bravado and the obvious disrespect towards each other, and that would be Robert Downey Jr. And Johnny Depp. Could you imagine that?
I don't know. That'd be a little too much character, I think.
Exactly.
For one
that'd
movie.
Be funny.
Who would win?
That would
oh,
be funny.
Man. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
All right, I would like to see them. I'd like to see them in a movie. Whose wisecracking mouth would outlast and win? Who would do that?
Yeah, the problem would be you have to give Johnny Depp a quirky character. You know.
Really? Well, do you think he could play a quirky character?
I think that he can only play a quirky character.
he's a character actor and a leading man body.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, he's a character actor. That's why he plays his best movies are when he plays off-kilter roles. He just looks like he has the looks of a leading guy.
Yeah.
That's why when he plays the straight guy, the normal everyday Joe, the movies don't really sell much. It's also the opposite issue. I saw Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell's always trying to play these kind of straight characters, but he's actually best when he plays these psychopaths or
open
characters. Okay, Steve, what two actors would you like to see together in a Western?
I'm just, you know what? I'm just not an actor-centric type of thinker. I don't think of it that way. If I'm reading a book... Usually the book will, you know, describe someone and I'll start to attribute that character to either someone I know or an actor. But just to come up with, I mean, I would have to know more about the plot. If you say, well, just a generic plot, even that, you know, it would have to be a little bit more for me to work on. Boy, I mean, it would be hard for me to come up with a favorite actor at this point. It's just, that's not how I think. I apologize.
You know what I'd like to see? You know, it'd be fun to see.
Jace and who?
Take the cast of Star Trek The Next Generation and cast them as a Western. Now they did a Western episode like on the holodeck, I know, but actually take them, you know, Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, take all of them. Of course you'd be taking them in their prime. I'd want to see them in their prime. But
dude, I'd take him right now. Could you imagine?
Patrick Stewart I'd take right now.
Patrick Stewart and then cast Brent Spiner as the bad guy.
Yeah. See, I never saw this, but there was a, you know, my favorite Shakespeare play is King Lear.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Stewart, this is what made me think of this. I haven't seen this, but Patrick Stewart did a Western adaptation of King Lear.
Oh, dude.
Cool. I want to see it.
I love King Lear. That's awesome.
But my favorite Lear, well... We're not going there. Why am I even starting that rabbit trail?
All right. Well, that's the end of my questions.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the themes that you find in Westerns. What are some of the things then that appeal to us in Westerns that appeal to us in the same way from fantasy as far as themes?
Well, one thing that comes up a lot in Westerns, and you guys can do the fantasy comparison, is revenge. You know, you have that in Unforgiven. You have that in some respects in Mal, in Firefly. You know, even in Tombstone, when, you know, the final battle after they shoot his brother and it just finally kind of blows everything up,
mm-hmm.
is revenge.
Yeah, and of course you've got even like, especially like the exploitation Westerns, where the whole thing is just something terrible happens at the beginning purely as setup so you can see this guy ride through the movie destroying everyone else in his way. Death Rides a Horse comes to mind. I saw that when I was in high school. I was sick, and it was on one afternoon on the local, you know, UHF channel as a syndicated movie. And I'm like, oh, wow. Because it's just, I think it's Lee Van Cleef. And he's just, his wife gets raped and killed at the beginning. And then he's just riding his horse through the movie, destroying everyone who's involved in that gang of terrible banditos or whatever. And I'm just like, oh, wow. And just the rage and the vengeance and just, oh, I mean, it caught me.
I like the white hat, black hat, you know, just the good guy, the defined good guy and the defined bad guy, you know.
You just reminded me, Ben, when you were talking, of one that might be another genre bender, would be the Book of Eli.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I just thought about that.
But yeah, definitely revenge and vengeance and justice.
Yeah.
And actually a lot of the things we talked about in our Wrath episode, honestly, where, yeah, you know, these are, and so much so that you'll have the allegory is even more blatant in a Western, I think, than in fantasy, where you'll have the guy ride into town and the town is called Desolation, or the, yeah, town is called We Have No Hope because there's bad guys,
yeah,
on the Providence hills. And Providence, then the hills are called Nevada, the bad guy hills. You know, it's,
and you have Providence, yeah, Nevada, yeah, or something.
Or Paradise, say, and it's just a hole. It's just a pit.
I would say a huge theme in Westerns is death and new life, meaning there's lots of death because of the killing, but also it's a death of a society, of how the country used to be. It's a death of cultures with the Native Americans. And it's also the birth of something very different that's on the horizon with America, you know, growing and expanding. Because there's constantly, you have the early Westerns where it's just cowboys and Indians, and then you have where the Indians are kind of gone, and it's the like, for instance, in Lonesome Dove, they're the Texas Rangers. And then all of a sudden, and I believe, I can't remember which one it is, but then there's the Revolutionary or the Civil War. And so then the Texas Rangers become outdated because now it's the Union Army that's in control. So there's this constant death of old things and the newness of something else. And you have some that, like, even in Lord of the Rings, there was a little bit of that, you know, with the elves. They're going up because they've had their time.
Uh-huh.
And now it's time of men or whatever it is.
Yeah, I do like seeing, like, that lost generation, or last generation, where, you know, a lot of times it's personified, not personified, but the metaphor of that is in the train. Like, here comes technology, here comes civilization to come and to take the beauty of the life of the wilderness and take it away, and humans are coming now, and not just riding their horses through, but they're going to stay. And it's the end of an era.
Hmm.
One other thing that is a big part of the Western is nature, and, you know, living on the land and living off the land.
Yeah.
Yeah, survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
family.
The desert. You have that. You know, the sense of it's always there. It's encroaching, and you have this haven,
mm-hmm,
the town, or the, you know, the city
town that's called Haven.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think there's a flip side too with the Western, and that's a little bit more a cynical thing, and a little bit more of a hopelessness, like you were saying with life and death, but where there's just this inevitability of death, and just the very temporary life that we have, and the useless loss of life, where people die for no reason. just because they happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and there's a bullet in their heart because some guy was riding through town.
Well, as far as other comparisons, I mean, basically, the High Noon kind of face-off with the gun battle is basically just like two men fighting with a sword one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You know, you have all these different... I think also what is often in Westerns is camaraderie. They always have this team, whether it be, you know, Bonanza and that family sticking together, or, you know, versus the Fellowship of the Ring. You often have these, you can have the loner too, but you have that in fantasy as well. But you often have these people coming together like Young Guns and Lonesome Dove and Tombstone, where these people band together and fight evil to accomplish the goal.
And they form a family.
Yeah.
And when the loner comes through, it's to protect the community. It's to protect the families. He's the one who has to do it, and he's the one who's going to have to leave because he's not innocent, but he comes to protect the innocent.
And you have that the same thing with, you know, again, Lord of the Rings with Aragorn. He's the loner, Strider. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the loner, and he kind of comes together in this group, so to speak.
Hey, you know what that makes me think of is Mad Max.
Yeah.
I thought
about Mad Max a little bit earlier in that same way.
Not the, well, the first one kind of, but especially Mad Max and then Beyond Thunderdome. Those are both, you know, they're Westerns with cars that, you know, very, you know, simplistic
and
technology.
And Tina Turner.
And Tina Turner. Yeah. But I could see Thunderdome being something, you know, that you could put into a Western context.
That's what I thought of Mad Max when I mentioned Book of Eli, because I think you have this, you know, basically a lot of these apocalyptic type shows, future apocalyptic, whether it be Postman, Firefly, they're almost like they're modern Westerns, because we can't, the only way we can kind of imagine what it was like to be in Western is to imagine what if we are in that type of setting again with nature. And so that's why I thought of Book of Eli, is that it was desolate. There's these gun battles. And, you know, he's trying to make it to the West. He's kind of the loner kind of guy, except he has a little bit more motivating him than just kind of survival.
Right. What you were saying also about the gun duels, you struck something with me there, Dr. Jace. And that's that in a lot of fantasy series, and not just fantasy, but like historical fiction kind of thing. But also you have the duel between two people to determine which one of them is right. And whoever the gods are behind is the one who's in the right. And so they'll win the battle. And in a lot of ways, the Western duel is like that, where justice is served just by drawing your weapon and being the fastest one to draw your weapon. And it's the good one. It's the right one. It's the righteous one, so to speak, who is going to draw faster and is going to defeat the other guy, generally speaking.
Right.
Unless you're what was it, the shakiest gun in the West with Don Knotts, where he goes into a quick draw fight and he fires off all six of his bullets and misses with every one of them. And the bad guy is just letting him do it. And the bad guy's about to shoot him then, and all of a sudden the bad guy gets shot. And he looks down at the bullet, you know, where it hit him. He's like, a seven shooter? And then falls over backwards. And it turns out it's like the woman or something in the window behind Don Knotts. But
did you ever hear the song, the 142nd fastest gun in the West?
No, but I really wish I had. That sounds pretty cool.
It has a sound effect in the chorus. It's, you know, the 142nd fastest gun in the West. And it's supposed to give you that sense of he starts pulling his gun when you start saying the, and by the time you get to 142nd fastest gun, he's actually firing it. And the only lyrics I can remember is 141 was faster than he, but he was looking for 143.
Have we explored fully why Westerns resound with Christians? Because that's the other thing is I do think that Westerns resound with Christians differently because of, I think, our views on there being a right and wrong. And even in these gray Westerns, you do get a sense of there's right and wrong. A lot of times the loner is doing the right thing for the wrong reason, but he's on the side of right to do it. And he's doing it out of selfish reasons, or he's doing it just because he thinks he should. But anything else to add there?
Not really.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I'd be interested to say, so my favorite was film was Lonesome Dove. Steve's was Gunsmoke, and Ben, what was yours? The
Man with No Name and Unforgiven.
So I would be interested to see what our listeners what they would agree on. I think that maybe something we can do from now on is, especially if we all have kind of our own thing, we could put a poll up there. Who do you agree with, Dr. Jace, Ben, or whoever, and then put what our answer is, and to see where everyone else is, and then whoever
Dr. Jace,
wins,
Ben, or.
Or whatever.
Or the guy with no name.
Yeah.
The guy with no name. And then, you know, we could figure out who won that time to see if people resound more with, Lord knows, I would have lost with the 2001 argument with the fan, the listeners. But I think it would be interesting from time to time when we have these discussions to put the polls up there to kind of see who they agree with. And that could be part of a discussion for the next podcast or something.
Well, I wonder if we should put up a poll on Facebook or put up a poll on our blog. I wonder which we get more of a view.
Why don't we put them all on both?
We could try that. And then we'd have to do the math. Wouldn't be automated. We'd have to add.
Math? Come on.
I get worried about polls now. After the Sci-Fi Christian did their whole Battle Royale and Mal... it would defeat Godzilla in battle. Mal from Firefly. Sorry, he would win a popularity contest. He would not win a battle.
Yeah. Oh, he's smarter than Godzilla. He would have planned a way to blow off the Godzilla's foot.
No, honestly, you know how it would go? He would run away. He would run away because Godzilla would just step on him. It'd be Bambi meets Godzilla.
No, not if one of his... The way you'd have to write it is one of his... team members was in danger, and also there was a village of children.
Well, here's how they wrote it. They wrote it that the ship was broke down, and so they couldn't leave when Godzilla came. And then they, you know, they had all these weapons and stuff, because they had to write it the way the poll ended up. And so they had to write it that Mal won. I'm very curious what he would have written if Godzilla had won.
Godzilla walked in and stepped on Mal.
Yeah, if it would have been the Bambi meets Godzilla. And Mal was sitting outside his... Bong! Oh, well.
And roll credits.
Ah, well.
Well, there's our discussion on Westerns as fantasy. Anybody have any final thoughts? Steve?
I do want to know if our listeners have any final thoughts. If they think we are completely off our rocker, or if they think, you know, that they can see our point and agree with us, or I'm wondering especially what Hank Harwell has to say. I know he's a big fan of Westerns, especially weird Westerns. So
weird Sterns, as they're called.
So that's my final thought, Steve.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
I wouldn't say no.
Steve, you are the anti Ben DeBono. Ben DeBono on the Sci-Fi Christian. I'm against it. Steve, I wouldn't say no. All right. Yeah, Dr. Jace, did you already give your last word? I can't remember.
My last word was, I really don't have anything to say. Watch Lonesome Dove if you haven't seen it.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right, I think we'll call it good then. Thank you for listening, and we do ask you to contact us. You can email us at podcast@strangersandaliens.com. You can leave us a voicemail on our answering service. That's 1-804-37-ALIEN. That's 1-804-37-ALIEN. You can also like us. Please like us, actually, on Facebook, facebook.com/strangers. So we definitely let us know what you think. And on behalf of my co-hosts, I would like to thank you so much for a couple of the feedback that we've gotten on, or the reviews that we've gotten on iTunes. Those are very nice. We do appreciate that. That does help our standings in iTunes go up if people are looking for things like science fiction and Christianity. There's obviously one podcast that will always be in front of us if someone looks up Sci-Fi Christian. But... we might be second after them eventually. So
Yeah,
that's just because they've been around longer.
No, that's just because their name is Sci-Fi Christian. Their name is going to, you know, kind of trump everything else. But we do appreciate the feedback that we get. We do appreciate the reviews that you guys have left. And we do appreciate just that you listen to us. And it's just an honor for us, as I've said before, to be able to share this with you. So thank you very much. And that said, would you guys like to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And Godspeed. You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Steve MacDonald, and Dr. Jace O'Neill. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. Please join in the conversation by visiting our website, strangersandaliens.com, where you'll find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also email us directly at podcast@strangersandaliens.com, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/strangers, or you can leave us a voicemail on the Strangers and Aliens hotline. Just call 1-804-37-ALIEN and leave your message. And once again, thanks for listening. And you can also, I lost my thought. Voicemail, Facebook, email, I think that's it. There's some weird noises coming.
Whoa,
those weird electronic noises.
Yikes.
And
what does it sound like?
Well, that one, I don't even, that sounded like someone was scraping a robot across the floor.
I yawned. Was that what you heard?
No. Unless you have a very mechanical yawn.
Oh.
So we definitely let us know what you think. And on behalf of my co-host.